I'm sorry.
Well, thank you, Professor. Okay, I'm gonna have to strike you a point here. So, okay, all right. See, you had an A, so now you get a B.
Okay. I'll take my D.
Good. Quit while you're ahead.
Oh, I don't know if I can quit.
No, I didn't say leave the classroom.
There's a story behind this one too.
Thank you. some problems, and no one could seem to solve them. But you found the answer. You told me to take this chance and learn the ways of love, my baby, and all that it has to offer. In time,
WB and the Professor.
Grab a glass.
man. Studio W. Look, we're in the house. Matter of fact, oh my my, yes sir.
WB, this was the album. This man. Was the one.
Man,
this was the one that they needed. All This Love, released on July 22nd, 1982. And it was just the right time. It was just the right time. I like it. That first number you played. That set. Okay?
That's right.
It was just a hit that they needed. The difference with All This Love and the debut album was Motown was 100% behind All This Love. Mm-hmm. They promoted it. Okay. They distributed and promoted it. Okay. And, to make sure that this was going to darn well be good, Berry Gordy put his sister Iris Gordy in the studio with them. So the album was produced, primarily by Iris along with Elle. And during the recording of I Like It, they worked very, very hard on that song, particularly Elle. And towards the end, Iris wanted Elle to have a solo. She wanted him to reach that very, very high note, you know, towards the end. I like it, I like it, I like it, and I like it, like it, like it. I'm not going to try to go that high, right? Okay? But went all the way up by the fade out. And he was having a hard time with it.
I can imagine.
Yeah, another two or three. But he's a natural falsetto, but he was really having a tough time with it. Another two or three.
Oh, you froze on me. Oh,
he did it. And then Iris said, I want you to do it just like that. We're going to record it right now. I want you to do it just like that. And Elle said to her, you want me to sound like Bobby. Mm. And Iris looked at him. She dropped everything. She looked at him and she said, you need to thank your lucky stars if you sound anywhere near like your brother Bobby.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
But that was what she wanted.
Okay. So Professor, okay. What happened was you froze for a second just before you finished that. So, I want you to start, and then because I did catch the part that you said that you thank your lucky stars if you sound anything like your brother Bobby. Oh, there's something going on there. Between those two. But go back to what was it that she told him or he didn't want to do, but he had to do it in order to hit that note.
I guess to just really, you know, it's music. You practice, and then you get it and it's hard. Whatever the rudiment is, it's just hard and you gotta concentrate. You gotta really, really concentrate, get everything else out of your mind and concentrate on what you're doing and believe in yourself that you can do it. But, you know, it was, he's a natural falsetto, but it was a strain on the voice, a little bit. That's just pretty much just what it was. A lot of people think this sort of thing is easy.
No.
And it's not. Sure, it's fun. You know, and then if you're in a business like this, well, it may not be fun. And guys, we've been at this for 4 years. We have 4 years worth of stories with a lot of these people.
Yeah.
A lot of these people didn't have fun.
No, they did not. And you know, and as a matter of fact, if they, if everybody could do what these amazing artists do, and now, and I don't want to say that nobody else but them can do what they do. That's not what I'm saying. But if you have been given that gift of being able to sing, and then, but then there are levels where you can sing, you can carry a note. And then it goes to the, where that is refined. And remember, I'm going to take these glasses off. Okay. We had a show. Remember, Professor, and it was a show that that teached how to sing. And we just, oh, it was very unique. I'm going to have to
talk. Oh, you don't have that anymore.
We don't have that anymore. We might have, I think we need to bring that back. And we had a vocal coach on, and he would talk about the different elements of singing. Mm-hmm. And that a lot of people who can sing and don't know that they can, okay? A lot of people say, look, I can't sing a lick. I can't, okay, all right. Well, see, that goes back to what you were saying, Professor, that believability. If you think you can't, you can't. Okay, you just cut your own knees. You just cut yourself at your own knees. You say, I can't do it. Well, guess what? You're right.
And there's an old African proverb that says, if you can talk, then you can sing.
And you know what? And I believe that. I believe everyone can. And sometimes it takes more training for some of us than others. Some you would think that they came out of their womb singing, and perhaps they did. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm currently taking lessons now. So I dig it. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've never taken lessons, you know, but
you know music.
I know music
really well.
And I have taught myself to say, mm-hmm. okay, I've gone to, you know, different clubs and things like that and got applauses. So I said, okay, I must have done pretty well. Okay. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole different story. But the show that we were talking about, and we have to bring this back on some level. And it was talking about breathing. When you're singing, one of the most important aspects of singing is breathing.
Oh, what makes it. It's what makes it.
Isn't mm-hmm. that? And then there's also something called placement. Okay. Mm-hmm. And placement. Where are you going to place that note? Where does that note fit? It's timing.
You gotta train your ears. You got to know music by ear with singing.
And where is it coming from? Is it coming out of your chest? Is it coming out of your throat? Is it coming out of your diaphragm?
Baby.
Monday Night Madness, folks. More after this. Woo!
Time to make up your mind.
Monday Night Madness. You hanging out with WB and the Professor of Pop Culture, Mr. L. Roy Boyd the Third. And tonight we're featuring, this is part two of a three-part segment. And the tour, please let the audience know what this is all about, because we have all, I know you announced this in the beginning of the broadcast. But also we have people just tuning in, just now. So Professor, tonight is all about what?
Tonight is DeBarge, part two of a three-part series for the Professor and WB celebrating their fourth anniversary, their four-year anniversary on Monday Night Madness. And, the series is the celebration of the 39th anniversary of the Luther Vandross Busybody Tour.
Yep.
Three artists were on that bill. The Deal. Last week we had The Deal in Babyface.
Yes, we did.
This week, The Barge, who was number two on the bill for that tour. And next week for Valentine's week, of course, Luther Vandross. And, Luther handpicked The Barge to be a part of that tour. To go with them. We talked earlier in the last break about how All This Love changed everything for them. The first album with Nowhere, because the production company, the Michigan production company, really didn't know what they were doing. Okay. Just as simple as that. Motown took over for the second album. Things really started going. Also with the second album, the group added another sibling, Jane. James DeBarge was now a member of the group. And All This Love sparked two hit singles, I Like It and All This Love. So then in 1983, they did the follow-up. They went back to the studio to record the follow-up to All This Love, which was In a Special Way. That cut that you played was side one, number two, Stay With Me, and it was written by Mark DeBarge, El DeBarge, and Bunny DeBarge. And Stay With Me is important in and of itself. It's probably the most important song out of the entire family, out of the entire group, and the most lucrative. That number is a foundation of modern hip hop. So many hip hop and rap songs have used that rip in that riff in their sampling, in their samples. Da 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 da. Biggie, One More Chance. Da 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 da. Ashanti, Keep Running Back to You. Okay. I keep on running back to you. Okay. All right. Well, that was Mark the Barge, man. That was from him. Now, WB, this is where things begin. You know, all this love, everything was like, it was going up, 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 up for them.
And?
It was going up, up, up. They were on American Bandstand, and L reminded kids of Michael Jackson with his mm-hmm. stage presence and his curl on his forehead and everything. Then don't forget the Motown 25 performance. Okay. Everyone, you talk about Motown 25. Everyone thinks of Billie Jean, but the Barge was first exposed to white America that night. They did, a section of the show with the Motown girl group High Energy. And people were like, they're good. They remind me of the Jacksons, but they're
exactly.
good. Okay. 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 So that, and then with Luther seeing that, got them, you know, to be on his tour and everything. So as I said, everything was going up, 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 up. Well, Amy Winehouse said, fame is like terminal cancer. I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
Wow.
And when you have so much money that you've never seen before in your life, mm-hmm. it can be a good thing and
it could be
a bad thing. And again, I'm going all the way back to what I said within the mm-hmm. first 5 minutes of when I came on. The family had problems. When it came time to record that song that you just played, Stay With Me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Mark DeBarge number. Bunny and L helped him finish it, but it was really, Mark was supposed to sing lead on that song.
And?
No one could find him. He was gone for 3 or 4 days.
Oh my goodness.
They did find him. All I'm just going to say is, with respect and being on the air, he was in and out of houses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So, L and Bunny were talking about, they had no choice, and Bunny said, you do it. And so L did it. But then, who knows how it would have been with Mark? Would it have been the draw for hip hop artists to sample that song, you know? So
and we'll come back with more of that too, because we talk about the talent. And one thing that before you said it, and I was listening at, you know, listening to the song, and when I remember, I was a huge Jackson, five, fan, huge.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the whole, I'm going to say legacy of the Jackson and Jackson 5 and Michael Jackson and everything about them, just huge.
Yeah.
And still, I'm still a fan. And I recall, I'm thinking when I first heard DeBarge and that group coming up, I'm saying, is this the next Jackson 5 in the very beginning?
Oh, I'll tell you about that.
Yeah. We'll do that on the other side, okay? Let's do this. It's on the other side. Monday Night Madness.
Woo!
Hanging out with WB and the Professor of Pop Culture. Enjoy.
What can I do to make you feel secure? Remove all your doubts so that you know for sure that you're the apple of my eye, girl. Fulfill me of my dream. Time will show the value of just what you mean to me. More precious than silver, more precious than diamond rings or anything that I could keep. Yeah. more precious than silver, more precious than diamond rings or anything that I could give you. It wouldn't mean a thing if you didn't have my love beside you there to guide you through. What an adventure night you are. I'm not just a hungry fish, but this time love's for real. In time it will come.
Studio W, The Buzz. I want to thank you guys for listening in. 7 Up, Kim Rogers, and a new member, Hey May. Welcome back. It's Monday Night Madness. Good stuff, man. from the album In a Special Way, DeBarge, Dream.
And you know, that wasn't really a turntable. That wasn't only a turntable hit. It's a turntable classic. It was never released as a single, but again, a sampler in years to come. So many other artists have sampled that riff. Really, Bunny DeBarge doesn't have to work another day for the rest of her life. I mean, because that riff on so many modern songs since that recording, it's really crazy. But it just goes to prove what the great music journalist Diana Williams has said. That was a time.
Absolutely.
That was a special time when you could drop a needle anywhere on that disc and it'll be something special, not just a hit single.
Oh, great. You know, question. You mentioned about Bunny never having to work a day again. Who's left? Where are they now?
Okay. L is still around. In fact, I heard something about the L the other day. I think he's doing a gig. L still has his struggles. Okay. He still has his struggles. In the beginning of the teens, he came back. He came back for a little bit. He had, a record and he did a duet with Faith Evans, which is on the playlist. I hope we get to it tonight. If not, that's okay. But he was kind of going up, back again.
Okay.
After a tough time. And, we slip, but when we slip, it's part of the recovery process. That's L. James. Okay, bottom line, they're all just struggling.
Okay.
They're all just struggling. But Bunny is on her way back. As I told you before, she put out a new, number with her brother, Randy, called I Like Your Style. So we'll see.
So, the question goes back because you look at this young, talented.
Yes.
Before discovery, I mean, them being discovered, how were they discovered? And were there, because you said even on the uprise, drugs came in the way. The question is for me, were there was there something in the family dynamic that drove them to drugs? Was it something that came on after they recognized stardom? And you know how Hollywood is, you know how the industry is. They young artists are introduced to substances and they become addicted or whatever it is that way. The question is, was it something before or after they were, they saw success or had money and things of that nature?
What was in the family, unfortunately, was, abuse.
Ah.
All the above.
That's okay? What I'm getting at.
And, you know, it's just like the old saying, wherever you go, there you are. So no matter how far they may have gone from that, the pain is still there. And, you know, you may need to go to something to take away the pain.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
one. Now, James, he got married see if he could try to get away from his issues. And he married, okay, let me tell you something, 1983-84, you talked about the Jackson family.
I sure did.
That was the peak. That was the peak, not just for Michael, for the entire family. The Victory Tour, Jermaine's first album on Arista, LaToya had hits. I mean, it was, those 2 years were just incredible. And for a year, for a brief year, there was a dynasty. There was a musical dynasty. The two families were connected. James DeBarge married Janet Jackson. And Janet had to annul it because of those substances. Many believe that the song Black Cat was written for James. Black Cat, On the Streets, Short Days, Long Nights, Better Watch Your Step or You're Gonna Die. Okay, you know, and also that the James DeBarge experience gave her the gumption for control, the concept, the philosophy of that, and writing of that. Okay,
wow.
So you had that going on. Now, because of their troubled background and coming from the streets, Motown kind of saw, okay, we packaged them and we presented them to the world one way, but these are, Jermaine Jackson said they were ghetto.
Okay? Wow.
He said, okay, when they would be in the studio, you know, you're working hard all day in the studio, what have you, you take a break. They would go out in the hall to the vending machine. Then you know how the vending machine will halfway hang your snack after you pay for it?
No.
And you can't get it?
Don't tell me.
They'll break the glass to get it and then get the other snacks in there and run. Okay? All right. Okay. One of Elle's former girlfriends said if you went to any of their homes or their apartments, there were holes in the wall, no matter how nice it was. And she jokingly said it's not the Barge home if there weren't any holes in the wall.
This is, you know, and folks, only on Monday Night Madness have you heard of such, and I believe every minute of it, and it is just, oh my God.
But Berry Gordy packaged them like the Cosby Kids, okay?
Oh my
God.
So
when you got all of this turmoil, Bob Jones, Irish Gordy, Berry, Smokey, they're at the top floor and they see this. They're like, well, okay, then you just do Record Company 101. You put your energy to the one who has the most promise.
Wow.
You funnel your strength, energy, and money. And who was it at the time? The one at that time now, the one who was not smoking, who was not drinking, who was a workaholic in the studio, who was the first to get there, who was the last one to leave after everybody else was gone, you put all of your money into him. And then when that happened, then, well, it got worse as far as the other siblings were concerned.
Of course. Back after this.
All right.
Rhythm of the Ninth, Monday Night Madness, WB and the Professor, Mr. Elroy Boyd the Third.
That's the song where it all starts.
Hey.
When it feels like the world is on your shoulders and all of the madness has got you going crazy, it's time to get out, step out into the street where all of the action is right there at your feet. Well,
kitchen starting under the streetlights. The scene is being set. A night for romance. A night you won't forget. So come join the fun. This ain't no time to be staying on. Ooh, there's too much going on.
Sometimes alone.